Chapter 7, The Guardian Angel. The first educator of any great initiate is, by its own right, the fundamental cause of all spiritual parts of his authentic presence. Any grateful guru humbly prostrates before the first creator who gave him life. After many conscious works and voluntary sufferings, the absolute perfection achieved in the functioning of all spiritual isolated parts of our common presence is revealed before our tearful eyes. Then, the being's impulse of gratitude towards the first educator is born in us. Unquestionably, the absolute perfection of each and every isolated part of the being can be achieved only by radically dying in ourselves here and now. There are various stages of inner self-realization. Some initiates have achieved perfection in some isolated parts of their being, but they still have much work to do before reaching the absolute perfection of all parts. It would be in no way possible to portray the being. It resembles an army of innocent children. Each of them performs specific tasks. The greatest longing of all initiates is to unify all parts of the being. When one achieves the inner self-realization of the highest part of one's being, one receives the grade Ishmesh. Our Lord Quetzalcoatl, the Mexican Christ, undoubtedly developed the highest part of his own being. It should be noted that Zolotl, the Nahua Lucifer, is also one of our own beings' isolated parts. The elemental gods of nature, such as Huehuetiotl, Tlaloc, Ehecatl, Chalkiutliku, Tlaloc's Genevieve, Xochiquetzal, the goddess of flowers, etc., assist the initiate in his elemental magic operations, provided that there is correct behavior. Nevertheless, we should not forget our elemental intercessor, the elemental magician in each of us who can invoke the elemental gods of nature and perform prodigies. This is unquestionably another one of the being's isolated parts. The three goddesses that represent our Divine Mother, who are actually only three unfoldings of the same divinity, variations or offshoots of our own being, are Tonantzin, Coatlicue, and Tlazoltiotl. Our own being has many isolated parts. We are amazed when we behold the Lion of the Law, the two genii who take note of our good and bad deeds, the karmic police, a part of our being as well, the All-Merciful, the Compassionate One, our united Father-Mother, and the Guardian Angel. The flaming powers of the Guardian Angel are truly extraordinary, marvelous, and extremely divine. I know what the Guardian Angel is from purely Gnostic sources, secretly kept in monasteries of initiation. These bear no resemblance to common pseudo-Christianity and pseudo-occultism, which are accessible to the general public. On reaching the very mysterious field of the history and the life of the jinns, we have discovered not only the Chapultepec Temple in Mexico and the people from the Fourth Vertical, but also, to our amazement, the power of the Guardian Angel and his relationship with all of this. Let us never forget Padre Prado and Bernal Diaz del Castillo, who together observed with delight the Anahuac priests in jinn states. The anchorites floated delightfully through the air and went from Cholula to the Templo Mayor. This happened every day at sunset. Never in their nocturnal walks did the Sais disciples in the Delta of the Nile, or Zarathustra's followers in the Persian Plateau, or those who meditated in Belo's Tower in Babylonia, have more majestic horizons than the ones that are observed by those who seriously persevere in tantric dream discipline. Outside his physical body, the Gnostic anchorite can consciously, if he wills it, invoke an isolated part of his own being, which is defined in practical esotericism as the Guardian Angel. Unquestionably, the ineffable, will heed his call. Transparent serenity, limitless calm, or ecstatic happiness, like that which is experienced by the soul when breaking the bonds of matter and the world, is what we feel in such delightful moments. You can then, dear reader, deduce the outcome. Magical services a la Lohengrin can always be received. If in such rapturous moments we ask of the guardian angel the favor of removing our body, which is sleeping in bed where we left it, and bringing it to us, the magical phenomena will take place successfully. We can sense that the physical body is on its way, brought by the guardian angel, when we feel a strange pressure on our psychic or astral shoulders. If we assume a receptive, open, and quiet attitude, the physical body will penetrate our interior. The tantric Gnostic, instead of returning to his physical body, consciously waits for it to come to him in order to travel to the promised land in the fourth coordinate. Later, with the help of the guardian angel, the Gnostic can safely go back home to bed. The venerable masters of the occult fraternity travel with their physical bodies in the fourth vertical and can leave the fourth vertical at any point they wish. This means that the resurrected masters of the superior order have the luxury of transporting themselves without modern transportation systems, boats, airplanes, or cars. Not a trivial matter. In ancient times, the use of criticism, analogy, and symbology were the living core of the Alexandrian school of the Philoleteans, or truth lovers, a 6th century academy of synthesis founded by Ammonios Sakkas, the great autodidact and eclectic, and Plotinus, Plato's follower. Throughout the centuries, the great initiatic value of these procedures and the doctrinal principles of Egypt, Mexico, Peru, China, Tibet, Persia, and India helped many initiates orient themselves in the path of the razor's edge. Ammonios Sakkas' Androgelia is remarkable. It is an excellent golden book. Self-aggrandizement is the biggest error that many modern pseudo-esoterists and pseudo-occultists have. They love themselves so much, and they yearn for the evolution of the misery they carry within. They want to move on and long for the extension of that which in no way deserves either perfection or perpetuation. Those people with subjective psyches believe themselves to be rich, powerful, and illuminated. They covet a splendid position in the beyond. In reality, they know nothing about themselves. Lamentably, they are ignorant of their own impotence, nothingness, shamelessness, misadventures, and psychological misery and nakedness. We Gnostics do not yearn to be better or worse. We only want to die in ourselves here and now. When we have the dogma of evolution as the foundation of our most cherished yearnings, our point of departure is false. We, the penitents of the rocky path that leads to final liberation, are not interested in evolution. We know we are miserable and crippled, and our own evolution would be useless. We prefer supreme death. Only death brings forth what is new. Why should we struggle for the evolution and progression of our own misfortune? It is better to die. If the seed does not die, the plant cannot sprout. When death is absolute, that which will be born will also be absolute. Total annihilation of the self, the radical dissolution of the most loved which we carry within, the final disintegration of our best desires, thoughts, feelings, passions, resentments, sorrows, emotions, yearnings, hatred, likings, jealousy, revenge, anger, affections, attachments, passion, lust, is urgent and undelayable. It cannot be postponed. In this way, the being's flame, which is always new and does not belong to time, can come forth. The conception we have of the being is not the being. Any intellectual concept we have created about the being is not the being. Our opinion of the being is not the being. The being is the being, and the reason for the being to be is to be himself. Fear of absolute death is an obstacle to the realization of radical change. Each of us has a mistaken creation in our interior. It is essential to destroy what is false so that a new creation can come forth. We would never try to promote the evolution of falseness. We prefer Buddhist annihilation. From the black and horrifying sepulchral grave of the abyss arise the diverse flaming parts of the being. The guardian angel is one of those many isolated parts. Those who really know the mysteries of the Templars, which are a marvelous reflection of Bakhtian, Eleusinian, and Pythagorean mysteries, by no means wish to carry on their inner misery. We ought to return to the original point of departure. We must go back to the primitive darkness of the not-being and chaos, so that light can be born and a new creation can come forth in our interior. Instead of fearing total annihilation, we should learn how to love and fall into the arms of our blessed goddess, Mother Death.